passages of Scripture came to my mind. That passage in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." As a child of God, His goodness and His mercy chases after us. And when we get out of line, He chases us to bring us back in. When we're following Him, He chases us with goodness and mercy. God is good. And then also in Psalm 119, verse 68, declares, "You are good, and you do good." Man, that has been, we studied that, we looked at that last week, and that's just been on my heart all week long. God, you are good, and you do good. Doesn't matter what our circumstances are, doesn't matter how we feel that day, doesn't matter how good we're being. God, you are good, and you do good. We serve a great, great God. Well, this is the time we release our children and volunteers at Children's Church. So I want to invite you guys to head back in that direction. And out, I want to just give you a little bit of introduction to Lucas and Tia and their family. Many of you, most of you know them. They've been here before. Lucas has preached here before. We have gone on mission trips to serve with Lucas as he has been missionary in Malawi. I got a unique story. I won't try and tell it. He can tell it much better than I do. But man, it just amazes me that he is a high school senior, went to Malawi or while he was in high school or right after, and just fell in love and said, "Mom, Dad, I'm going back to stay." And he's been there, man, ever since then. And God blessed him with this wonderful wife and helpmate, Tia, who loves the Lord and loves reaching her nation and the people of Malawi. And God has blessed them with three beautiful kids that love the Lord. I had the pleasure of them all being in our prayer time this morning and getting the joy of hearing Moses pray, their oldest, and just lift his heart to the Lord, his aunt to the Lord because she's sick, and man, it's just God's doing some good stuff. So this morning, Lucas is going to come, and he's going to preach God's Word to us, but tonight, they're going to be back, and he's going to give a slideshow and talk more about the ministry that they're doing in Malawi, and I'm sure he'll tell you why they're here in the States and what's going on there, how we can pray for Malawi, how we can pray for them. Man, it is such a joy to get to know someone and call someone friend that loves the Lord like Lucas does and has devoted his life to serving Him and to taking the gospel into the darker places of the world and sharing Jesus' love with people. So, Lucas, you come, you share what God's laid on your heart, and then you close as He sees fit.
Well, good morning, everybody. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 16. And when you find it, you can find something as a marker to be there, because we'll be coming, we'll go other places in the Scripture, but we'll always come back to it. I'm thankful to be here. It's always good to come to Oak Grove Baptist, and I'm very thankful for Brother Neil. I'll never forget the first time I met Brother Neil. We had picked him and a group of people up from the airport, and we come back to Rainbow there, and we was all enjoying the supper and fellowship, and about midnight that night, some people come to visit us with some machetes and different things. They were some thieves broke in the house, and I remember the door, they had closed the door, and I still didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know what was really going on. To be honest with you, I thought people were praying in the living room, but it was really people screaming for help, and things wasn't good, and I remember trying to open the door. The door wouldn't open. I thought, well, what's going on? And I remember Brother Neil said, "Move out of the way." He grabbed hold of that handle and pulled it right off. I said, "Oh, there's Neil Wiggly." And so I'll never forget that. But he still, how he pulled that off. But anyhow, we made it through. And he's still been back, going back, and thankful for that. And I'm always thankful to hear Brother Daryl and the music. And the young lady on the piano did a wonderful job. That was really amazing. This morning's message is something God has led me to preach, and so I'm going to preach it. And the topic is talking about hell. It is something that is very clear in Scripture. You can't deny it. But it is something that needs to be preached and proclaimed, something we need to hear. But before we start, let's pray. Our Lord, this morning, yes, indeed, how faithful You have been all of my life and how good You have been. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit that is our comforter and our guider and our director, our teacher. Father, we ask this morning for the Holy Spirit to move, the one that convicts of sin and unrighteousness and the judgment to come. We pray that He would come and do that work. And we know that wherever the Holy Spirit is, He will lift up Jesus Christ. We want to see Jesus Christ tonight, this morning. Lord, if there be one or two or whoever would be lost, if there is this morning, we pray draw them to You that they may be saved. And Father, may we this morning see the truth out of the Word of God. And Father, we pray that there'll be no work of the enemy to prosper in this place this morning. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 16, we're going to start in verse number 19, a passage of Scripture that should be, and I believe is very familiar to all of us. Luke chapter 16, we're going to start in verse number 19. The Bible says, "And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." You may be seated. You know, as I began to study for this message some time ago, I read a statistic that 41% of Americans do not believe that there is no hell. But almost all of those 41% believe in heaven. How amazing it is that we believe in heaven, but we not believe in hell. We believe in a very good place, but we not believe in a very bad place. Or maybe the judgment of God. We believe in the goodness and the wonderfulness of God. And He is wonderful and He is good. But there is also a place of judgment because sin must be paid for. We cannot just eat the, as my son would, lick the top of that cupcake and throw the rest out. Amen. There is a heaven just like there is a hell. And the Bible says here in Luke 16:19 that there were two men here. There was one man who was very rich and he dressed up nicely. And he ate probably like most of us eat. He ate very wonderfully all the time. And there was another man, his name was Lazarus. Now this man was not poor. He was beyond what we could consider poor. And the Bible says that he had wounds and sores on his body. And he sat at the gate of the rich man's house. Now, living for some time in Africa, I understand what that is. Because most of the houses, they got fences around and then there's a gate there. And when people want you, they don't just walk up to the house. They stand at the gate and then you go meet them out there or so forth. Here was this man at the gate of this rich man's house. And let's read it right here in verse 21. "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." This man was set at the gate of this rich man's house. And he didn't want money. He didn't want prayer. He didn't want a car. He didn't want clothes or anything. He just wanted some crumbs that fell off the table. That's all he desired. He was so desperate for anything. But it says the dogs came and licked his sores. The point is this morning, it don't matter how rich you are or how poor you are or what you look like or where you come from or what business or whoever. We will all stand before God Almighty. We will all stand before Him equally. And the Bible says in verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." Both of them died. It didn't matter. The Bible tells us in Romans 2:11 that there is no respecter of persons with God. This morning you may think that you're an upstanding man or woman in this community and you're doing fine. You have been coming to the church, been dipped in some water, said a prayer, and you're going to make it. You still stand before a living God and be judged for your sin. And this morning, it doesn't matter who you are, you will die. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, verse number 27. Hebrews 9, verse number 27. The Bible is very clear here. Hebrews 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There is an appointment for each one of us to die. Now, when is that appointment? We don't know. And it's not an appointment that you call and make, amen? Doctor, I need to make an appointment. I'm feeling sick. I need to make an appointment for this or for that. It is an appointment God has already made. And you will be there one day, but we don't know when it is. That is why you should get ready for death. And when you begin to talk to some people about death, they say, ooh, they get scared. They don't have peace about death because they don't have peace with the one who has conquered death, hell, and the grave, amen? This morning, I tell you, I have peace about death because I have peace with the one that overcame death. Amen. And that is Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're scared of death, if you have a fear of death, come to know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and you will look forward to death. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." He says, for me to live is Christ. Oh, I'm happy living with Christ. Go ahead and kill me. That'll be better. What about you this morning? Are you ready for death? Look what the Bible says also in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 14. James chapter 4, verse number 14. James 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanishes away. What is your life? Just the other day, you were growing up with your mama and your daddy, and now you got gray hair, and you got a belly, and you're struggling to live life. What is your life? When Brother Neil talks about going to Malawi, I did right after high school. That was 10 years ago. Time flies, it moves by. And many people say, when I laid up on my deathbed, I'll cry out to God then. Now, you don't know if you'll be there on that. Your life is as a vapor. It's coming and it's gone. It's coming and it's gone. And when I was growing up with mama and daddy, and we was going to the church all the time, and God was knocking on my heart, and He was calling me to be saved, I kept thinking within my mind, what would so-and-so think? What would old Mr. Harry there in the church think? What would the pastor think? What would my mama and daddy think? I was fearful. And you know what? Now today, most of those people that I fear, they dead and gone. Don't fear people. Fear God. People will come in and out of your life like wind will. Listen, fear God and know that your life is as a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. Fear God. And this morning, get right with God if you're not right with God. If you're not born again this morning, trust God as your Lord and as your Savior. You're not promised tomorrow or even this afternoon. Get right with God. Look what the Bible says back in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. They both died. And we notice that the beggar Lazarus, he went to Abraham's bosom. If we would, he went to heaven. But look here, it says the rich man died. And in verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He was in a place called hell. Many people would tell you, that's not a real place. That's just a thing you think about. Or is talking about, that's just the grave. That's just the grave. No, he went into hell. He lifted up his eyes and he was in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I don't know how many people I've heard say, I'm going to die and go to hell, and we're going to have a party. What a lie. That is a lie. There is nothing that should be desirous about hell. And in our culture, we make hell seem like it's just a fairy tale type of thing and play off. Oh, it's hot in hell. Oh, it's hot. Listen, it is hot, but it is a serious thing. And the Bible says in verse 23, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. He was in fire. He was in torments. He was in a horrible place. And the Bible says that he said, Father Abraham, there's Lazarus. Now he remembers Lazarus. There's Lazarus. Send Lazarus to some water down here. Not a glass of water, not a cup of water, not a jug of water. He just said, tell him put his finger down in some water. And then put that drop on my tongue. Because hell is a torturous place. Hell is a terrible place to go to. It is a place where there is no water. It is a place where there is no covering. Job 26:6 says, hell is naked before him and destruction hath no covering. It is a place where God does not live. It is a place where there is no peace or no goodness. You know, one of the worst things I believe about hell that would happen to a person is found in verse 25. And Abraham said, son, remember. Remember. You need to remember. That tells me that we have in hell that a person has the ability to remember what is done on the earth. That means this man, he remembered all the good things he remembered. That means today, if you hear the gospel and you deny the gospel and you deny Jesus Christ and you die and you go to hell, you will remember October the 20th, 2019 when the gospel was preached. You will remember every time Brother Neil preached to you, every time you heard the gospel on the radio, every time someone made a godly influence in front of you, and you'll be in hell and you'll remember and remember and you'll say, why did I not get right with God? Why did I not repent of my sins and believe upon God? All you could be able to do is remember, but it will be too late. It'll be too late. You won't be able to climb up out of hell and come back and do it again. No, it'll be too late. In a flame, in a torment, naked, with no water, with demons torturing you, as the Scripture says, but with the ability to remember that you had an opportunity to believe upon Jesus Christ. I would say to you this morning, do not go to hell. Go to heaven, amen. Heaven is a wonderful place, a peaceful place, a good place, a place where there is no weeping, no torture, a place where Jesus Christ lives, where there's no sickness nor disease. It is a place where you walk on gold. It is a place where there's no hospitals. It is a place where there is no preachers. Everybody's singing, amen. Me and Brother Neil will be out of a job, but Brother Darrell, he'll still be singing. It's a place of worship. It is a place where you remember your loved ones and you rejoice with God, the one who died for you, amen. For eternity and eternity. This morning, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at something very clearly here. Keep your finger in Luke 16 and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, there is lots of discussion about this passage of Scripture and about what I'm getting ready to say, but I'll just read the Scriptures to you. We all know those that deny Jesus Christ and are not born again of the Holy Spirit, they will die and go to hell. They will have to pay for their sins. But who else shall enter hell? Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. This is very clear. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So we see right here that those that are sexually immoral, they will not enter the kingdom of God. Those that worship idols, they will not enter the kingdom of God. Those that are adulterers, those that are homosexuals and sodomites, they will not enter the kingdom of God. This is very clear. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall enter the kingdom of God. You may read that or hear that and say, whoo, we all in trouble. Let me tell you, I used to be some of these things. But look at verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Listen, I used to be a thief. I used to be a fornicator. I used to be a revealer. Listen, I used to be all of this, but I ain't no more. By the grace of God and by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I'm no more like this. I'm washed. I'm sanctified by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was there dead, but by the grace of God, He woke me up and saved me and changed me, and I'm no longer like this. But this morning, I would ask you a question. Are you like this? Is your lifestyle a practice of this? Only you can answer that question. But the Bible is very clear. These will not enter the kingdom of God. I want to show you something, if you would, in the book of Matthew 25. Matthew 25. As I had a man tell me one time, what kind of loving God would send somebody to hell? Matthew 25, verse 41. When God created hell, He did not have us in mind. He didn't have us in mind. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to create hell because I know there'll be some people that I'm going to send down there. I can't stand them. He didn't say that. Matthew 25, verse 41, we're going to pick this verse out. I encourage you to read it in all the context there, but I want to show you something. Verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on His left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into an everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He never had us on our mind that we would die and go to hell. He had prepared it for the devil and his angels, for those that rebelled against Him in heaven. He prepared this place for them. But you know, when we sinned and we fell before God, sin must be paid for with death. For the wages of sin is death. It's not pay more money. It's not sing more. It's not preach more. The wages of sin are not walking aisle, say a prayer, and get dunked in the water. The wages of sin is not operating a spiritual gift or speaking tongues or something of that. The wages of sin is death. And the good news is, of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to the earth and He died. He paid for that sin so that we don't have to go to hell. But this morning, if you're not born again and you deny Jesus Christ, you will pay for your sin an eternal hell, an eternal death. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's the goodness of the gospel. And that is the gospel that needs to go out across this community and America and around this world, is that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. Now, why fully? I don't know. Would I do that for some of you? No, I wouldn't do that. I would not take my firstborn son, Moses, someone that I love, and say that I'm going to give him for either Brother Neil as much as I love him. I'm not going to sacrifice my son for him. I don't want to do it. But God did that for us. God did that for you this morning. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you better get to know Him this morning and call upon His name. Because if you deny Him, you will pay for your sin in a place called hell. This morning, if you don't know Christ, believe upon Him. As I grew up in church, as I'll give you a little bit of my testimony, as I grew up in church, when I was 9 years old, we went to Dry Creek. I believe that's southern part of Louisiana. We went to a children's camp. And I remember there was a time of invitation, and one of my buddies, we were sitting real close together. We had our heads bowed, eyes were closed, and I felt him get up, and I was watching him, and he went down to the front. And I said, where's he going? I'm going to follow him. I followed him all the way to the back. Next thing you know, I said a prayer with this counselor. The next Sunday, baptized at the church up there in Oak Grove. And everybody said, oh, you did good. Oh, now you're saved. Now you can walk with God. And I, yeah. I didn't know what was going on. Nothing changed in my life. And as I began to live my life in high school and so forth, things was not working out good. I had anger issues and I was fighting and things wasn't good and doing wicked things. And one day in 2006, an evangelist came by to preach. And that day, my heart was convicted that I was lost before God, that I truly did not know Him. And I said within myself, no. I done this. I don't want nothing to do with it. That was July 2006. August, I was still underneath conviction. September, I was still underneath the conviction of God. In October, I was driving to school, and it was raining, and I went off the side of the road, and I overcorrected and flipped the car 3 times. I come out of the car with nothing wrong with me, but it was completely smashed flat, but I got out of it. As I was standing beside the car, somebody came by and said, you want to call your mama? I said, yeah, I'll call mama. I called mama, and mama said, I told her I had a wreck. She said, does daddy need to come down there with the tractor and pull you out? I said, no, mama, a little bit worse than that. Mama comes down there in her nightgown, didn't realize how bad it was, thought I might have just run off and got stuck. While we were standing there, state troopers there, some other people was there. The song I Can Only Imagine comes over the radio system as loud as you could, just as loud. And my mother said, Lucas, can't you see God is trying to speak to you? And I remember my heart, I said, no, He's not speaking to me. And the next month, got in a fight at a basketball game, the conviction of God, I was miserable. And then finally one day in December in 2006, I said, God, I'll surrender to you. And I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. And then I understood what it meant to be saved from hell. I am saved from that penalty because now I have received the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ. Now I understood what it meant to be born again. I was born the first time. The second time is of the Holy Spirit. Now I understood what it meant to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. And this morning, if you don't know Christ, come to know Him this morning. Don't go to hell. Amen. Look what the Bible says back in our main text in Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 25. He says, But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, but likewise Lazarus evils, but now he is in comfort, and thou art in torment. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now, believers, I'd like to speak to you this morning. Look what he says. If he can't come down here and give me a drop of water, this is what I want him to do, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Whew. He said, okay, he can't bring me a drop of water. Then send Lazarus. Send Lazarus to my daddy's house. I got 5 brothers. They need to hear the gospel. I don't want them to come down here. Believers, how anxious, how committed are you to telling the gospel to other people? And you sit there and say, oh, I love you. Tell them the gospel if you truly love them. It may offend them, but love them enough that you tell them the truth. Amen? Tell them that there is a hell. Tell them that there is a heaven. Tell them that Jesus Christ died for them. I'm here to tell you, if you truly love, you tell the gospel. And you tell the whole gospel. And the Bible says in verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. They back and forth. If he can't get a drop of water, he wants someone to go tell his brothers. This morning, I would ask you, do you know Christ? Are you truly born again? Or are you going to hell? this morning. And believers, are you going about your business telling the gospel, sharing the gospel, praying for people to be saved? These are things we need to think about and consider. Let's all stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. I want your pastor to come in the front. And this morning, if you would like prayer or like Christ to come into your life, you come talk to Brother Neil. Or if you need to come upon the altar here or pray, you'd be obedient to God this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus,